All right, on both sides, let's begin. All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chav Zayin. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Zevi and Shoshi Daniel in commemoration of the yard site of Zevi's father, Yitzchok Yisrael, Ben Rifael Noach Yosef. We hope none of the merit of our Talmud Torah's neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Achama. Shkoyach, thank you. All right, Moshe, let's begin. So today's daf is Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We are picking up from the Mishnah on the top. Nishpa Levat Las HaMitzvah, a number of really fascinating and incredible ideas. Nishpa Levat Las HaMitzvah Velo Bitel. What happens if a person took a shvua to literally be mevat la mitzvah? Literally, the case over here is, I swear that I'm not going to do a mitzvah. Whatever the mitzvah is, I swear I'm not going to put on tefillin today. And he didn't fulfill his shvua. Velo bita. In other words, that I put on tefillin. So I'm technically in violation of my shvua. What's the halacha? Potter. But say the halacha is I'm potter, meaning I'm potter for the violation of my shvua. It's not considered as if I have violated my shvua. So the Gemara says, Potter, thank you. Potter, l'kayim v'lo kiyem. Similarly, again, if I made a shvua to go ahead and uphold a mitzvah, and I did not do so, Potter, ultimately, again, I am potter fast. So we'll say, see the theme. What's the theme over here? The theme over here is that whenever you take a shvua to either uphold or to negate a mitzvah, such a shvua is not binding, since a mitzvah is already a pre-existing obligation. So the Gemara says, because I might have thought that really Me'ikra Din, one should be Chayiv ultimately again, like Rabbi Huda ben Mesira. Because what does Rabbi Huda ben Mesira say? I'm Rabbi Huda ben Mesira. Ma maharishos she'inu mushva alav mehar Sinai. How are you Chayiv alav? Because Rabbi Huda ben Mesira's logic is as follows. If for a rishus, which Rabosa means something not obligatory, a Shavua can go ahead and create an obligation. So Shavua has the ability to take something non-obligatory and make it obligatory. So the Gemara says, "Uchayiv alav." A person would be chayiv ultimately again for a violation of such a shvua. Mitzvah shu mushvava mehar Sinai. Ein odin sheichayiv alav. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro says, if a shvua has the ability to make something non-obligatory obligatory, then all the more so a mitzvah for which one is chayiv to do already, a shvua should certainly be binding. Now both say, now understand Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro's logic only works in a case where one is taking a shvua to uphold a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira's logic is, if I go ahead and I swear that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread. So again, there's no obligation for me to eat the loaf of bread. There's no mitzvah for me to do this. Yet the shvua goes in and makes it a binding obligation. All the more so something which is a mitzvah, a shvua should of course work. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, lo, im amrit b'shuas harishus, she'en kein asa ba lav kehin. So we'll say, they say, the Rabbanan say back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, and I will say, we'll expound on this more in the Gemara. Here's the difference. When it comes to Shavua, remember again, the operative phrase is lahara o lehetiv, which means a Shavua is only binding if it can be expressed in the positive and in the negative, which for our purposes means what? I will do something or I won't do something. By definition, if a shvua cannot be phrased in the positive and in the negative, then it is not a binding shvua. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, im amrit b'shvuas harishos shekein asa balav kehein. When it comes to an optional shvua, which also means I'm swearing about something not obligatory, I can phrase it in the positive or the negative. I will eat the loaf. I won't eat the loaf. Tomar b'shvuas mitzvah shalo asa balav kehein. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that logic or that framework does not apply to a mitzvah. Why? Because as much as yes, you can take a shvua to uphold a mitzvah, I could swear I'm going to put on tefillin, I could swear I'm going to build a sukkah, I could swear I'm going to eat matzah on Pesach, I could do all of those things. But if I take a shvua not to do those things, I swear I'm not going to put on tefillin. I swear I'm not going to eat matzah. Such a shvua ultimately is not binding. I will say, now although we've never stated explicitly, the reason why such a shvua is not binding is why? Because it's what's called masna masha kasav batorah. Whenever you go ahead and you make a tenai, you make any kind of condition that runs contrary to the already established truths and obligations of the Torah, such a tenai is batal. Remember, again, we saw this in our Kiddushin days. Like, Kiddushin. Right, remember Kiddushin and Ksuvas, that if a man goes in and he says to his wife, Hari at mikudashas li, amenas, she'in lach alay mizonos, right, become married to on the condition that you have no claim of financial support against me. So what's the halacha? Mikudeshes, she's mikudeshes, but the tenai is batal. In other words, because he can't do that, because the Torah provides that a husband is supposed to support his wife. So so Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira wants to say that if a shvuah could work for something optional, certainly it could work for something obligatory, to which the Rabbanan say, no, the framework of shvuah is such that shvuah only works if it can be phrased in the positive and in the negative. And for a biblical precept, although phrasing it in the positive works, phrasing it in the negative does not. Therefore, again, the Rabbanan paskin, any shvuah to go ahead and either uphold or negate a mitzvah is simply an irrelevant shvuah. It's not the shvuah's bitui. Says the Gemara, we'll see in the Rambam exactly how that's codified halacha lemaisa. Turn up, Rabbanan, yochol mishpul levat alasam mitzvah lo bital yechayiv. I might have thought, well, so listen to this case. I might have thought, I'll take questions at the end. Yochol mishpul levat alasam mitzvah lo bital yechayiv. So I might have thought the following, that if a person goes ahead and takes a shvuah to be mavatal mitzvah, let's say a person goes ahead and says, I swear I'm not going to put on tefillin today. So we'll say, so what happens? Below bitel, and let's say he puts on tefillin, yehi chayiv. I might have thought, there's a havamina, that maybe such a person would be chayiv. I made a shvuah not to put on tefillin. I put on tefillin, I should be chayiv. Tam lomar, lahara o lehetiv. Therefore, the pasuk says that a shvuah is only binding if what rabosai, lahara o lehetiv. It is both for the negative, either negative or positive, meaning for bad things or for good things. Maha tava rishus. I will say, just like the hatava, in other words, if I take a shvuah to do something, again, the truth is, hara and hatava here doesn't really mean good and bad. What it really means is positive and negative. Or really what it means is active versus passive. So just like hatava, just like the positive thing, so to speak, is rishus is something optional, af hara or rishus. So Tzibbo say, when the shvuah is phrased in the negative, the shvuah is only binding if it's about something optional. Otsi nishpa levata las hamitzvah velo bitel shu pater. Therefore, again, that comes to exclude a case, Tzibbo say, a person takes a shvuah to be mavatal mitzvah. I swear, I'm not going to put on tefillin today. And I put on tefillin today. In other words, I didn't negate the mitzvah. That ultimately, again, I'm pater for such a shvuah. Yochol nishpa lekayim es hamitzvah velo kiyem sheichayiv. So similarly, I might have thought, people say, let's say I swear to fulfill a mitzvah. I swear I'm going to put on tefillin today. I'm going to put on tefillin today. And I didn't put on tefillin today. I might have thought that I should be chayiv for the shvuah. But remember again, tefillin is a mitzvah kiyumis. Right? Meaning it's a mitzvah saseh. There's an obligation. What happens if I don't put on tefillin today? Right? There's no aveira per se associated with it. Rather, again, I've missed out on the performance of an aseh. But I might have thought, let's say I took a shvuah that I'm going to put on tefillin today. And I didn't do so. She chayiv. I might have thought that I should be chayiv. People say, chayiv what? Chayiv what? Chayiv what? For non-fulfillment of my shvuah. Remember again, there's a biblical asay, but if I don't put on tefillah, I'm not in violation of an avera. So ultimately, again, the havamina is if I took a shvuah to put on tefillah and I didn't put it on, I might have thought that I should be chayiv for violation of my shvuah. Tamalomar la ra'u lehetiv. Therefore, the pasuk says, ultimately, again, la ra'u lehetiv, ma ha-ra'a rishus, just like ultimately, again, the ha-ra'a rabo say, that if I go ahead and I say I'm not going to do something, that only devolves upon optional activities, af ha-tava rishus, so too, again, when I take a shvuah to do something positive, that also only devolves upon optional activities, otzi, nishpa lekayim es ha-mitzvah v'lo kiyem shupater. Therefore, it comes to exclude a case of us where I take a shvuah to perform a mitzvah, but I didn't fulfill my shvuah, then I'm going to be potter. Yochol. So Gemara is just going through all the different cases. Yochol nishpa lahara la'atzma v'lo hara. So let's listen to this case. Let's say I took a shvuah to harm myself. I took a shvuah to harm myself, whatever the mitzvah is. I took a shvuah to go and harm myself. And I will say, leaving aside the possibility that harming oneself is an iser d'oraisa, so leaving that aside for just a moment, let's say I took a shvuah to harm myself. V'lohara, I took a shvuah to cut off my finger, and I didn't cut off my finger. V'lohara, yachol yehi potter. I made a thought. Cutting off fingers is a bad example. I made a shvuah to cut myself. Let's just keep it like that. I made a shvuah to cut myself, and I didn't do so. Yachol yehi potter. I might have thought that I would be potter on that. Tamud lomar lahara o lehetiv. Therefore, the pasuk says lahara lehetiv mahatava rishus. They both say just like the positive action referred to in the pasuk is optional, af hara rishus. So to Rabosai, the negative shvuah also has to be something optional. Avi lishpa lahara lishpa lahara liatzmo for lahara sharushus piyador. Rabosai, therefore, again, that's a, I'm not coming up with good examples because cutting oneself isn't necessarily a good example either. But let's say again, I go ahead and I swear to do something negative to myself. The halacha Rabosai ultimately is that that shvuah becomes binding. As long as it is quote unquote something that is optional, because just like Hatava's Rishus, so too Hara's Rishus, I have the ability to engage in self-harming activities, and therefore again such a Shivua ultimately again will be binding. Tamalomar, Laro Lehitiv, Ma Tava Rishus, Afara Rishus. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. Yochol Nishpa Laro Lachir, I'm sorry. I might have thought, well, say, what if I take a Shivua to harm someone else? I take a Shivua to punch Ruvain. Velo Hara, and I didn't do it. And a change of heart. Sheikhaiv, I might have thought that I should be chayiv ultimately again for violation of my shvuah. Talmud Lomar, lahara o lehetiv. Therefore, the pasuk says, lahara o lehetiv, mahatava rishus, afhara rishus. Both say, just like the hatava, just like the positive, forward moving, right? The positive shvuah is something optional. So too, again, the negative shvuah is also something optional. We'll say, I have no right to punch Shimon in the face, to punch Reuben in the face, and therefore what? Even if I swear that I'm going to do it, and I don't do it, I'm not in violation of the Shavuah. Why? Because, again, I will say, you see the common theme. The common theme over here is that what? Shavuah only devolves upon something that is a Rishus. Something that is not a Rishus, something that is not optional slash permissible, ultimately, the Shavuah does not devolve upon it. Therefore, for our purposes, Shavuah will not devolve upon any kind of mitzvah performance, both either the performance or negation of a mitzvah, because it's not a rishus. Shavuah will not devolve upon harming someone else, because I have no option about that. So we begin to see that Shavuahs really only devolve upon things that A, relate to me, and that B, are optional in nature. So minayin l'rabos, hatavas achirib. We'll say, so from where do I know, ultimately again, to go ahead and expand this, to say that if I swear to do something beneficial for someone else, then ultimately again such a shua should be binding. Talmud lomar elah olehetiv. We'll say, what's an example ultimately again of a shvua that would be negative for someone else? Ake es ploni. A shua that I'm gonna go ahead and hit ploni. Veftzenu es mocho. Veftzas mocho. I'm going to split open ploni's skull. These are examples of shavuos that may have negative repercussions on other people. So now the Gemara asks, so you're telling me now we'll say, the entire argument of the Gemara, really coming to support the Mishnah, is that the phrase of lahara o lehetiv refers to a dvar rishus, refers to something optional in nature. It does not refer ultimately again to a mitzvah endeavor. So mimai dikai bidvarishus ksivi. How do we know that lahara o lehetiv refers to a dvarishus and not to a mitzvah? Dilma bidvar mitzvah ksivi. Maybe lahara o lehetiv ultimately does refer to a dvar mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, lo saka daitcha deba inan hatava dumiyadara vara dumiyadatava. No, because as we said before, you acquire what the Rabbos say. Deba inan hatava dumiyadara. The hatava and hara are mentioned in the same breath. So therefore, again, I own the same phrase, I should say. I need hatava, a positive shvua, which is comparable to hara, v'hara, a negative shvua, dumya da'atava, da'akish hara la'atava, ma'atava ina b'bitl mitzvah. I will say, just like, again, the case of hatava, of the positive shvua, is not dealing with a bitl mitzvah, hara guf, excuse me, I lost the place. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Mahatava li atzmo dahainu ochel shino b'bitul mitzvah kigon ochel yomekipurim. So we'll say, just like the case of Hatava, where a person says, I'm going to eat, by definition, Hatava can't be in a case of bitul mitzvah. They're both saying, now where would you ever have a case of Hatava that's bitul mitzvah? So Rashi says over here, kigon ochel yomekipurim. Let's say a person takes a shvuah, I'm going to eat. It just happens that the day that he takes that shvuah is when? Is Yom Kippur. Or, O chametz bePesach. Or, I swear I'm going to eat chametz. I'm swear I'm going to eat the loaf of bread. Under normal circumstances, no problem. Except, if you make that shvuah on Pesach, dehalo kari hatava, shari gorim ra'a l'naf sho, ela b'kiyum mitzvah, kigon o chametz bePesach. So therefore, again, I will say, just like hatava, can't have bitl mitzvah. Af hara ain't over bitl mitzvah. Look at Rashi. Af hara de lo ochal she'in over bitl mitzvah. Kigon lo ochal matzah ela b'ki mitzvah. Kigon lo ochal chametz. So we'll say just like again, hatara also can't be a mitzvah. Will be a case of hara b'bitl mitzvah. I say I'm not going to eat matzah. The one that says I'm not going to eat matzah on the lel haseder. So the Gemara says. Therefore, what do you see from here? Hara gufa hatovahi. Because we'll say in that case, the hara itself would be hatova. Va'akish hatova lahara. And we compare the hatova to the hara. How so? Mahara ain't a bikiya mitzvah. Just like hara, we'll say, is not the fulfillment of a mitzvah. Af hatova ain't a bikiya mitzvah. If that's the case, hatova gufa harohi. We'll say, you could have the case of a person making a positive shvua. But ultimately, again, that positive shvua resulting in the negation of some type of mitzvah, which would be hara, yachi bidvar harishus nami lo meshkachas lo. So, we'll say if that's the case, then you'd be hard pressed to find the case of rishus. Also, ella midi itzterich o lerabos hatavas achirim shmamina bidvar harishus ksivi. So, says Gemara, you're right. Rather, the fact that we need o, and we're going to define this drasha in just a little bit. The fact that I need the word o. To go ahead and what Rabbo say, l'rabos hatavas achirim, to tell me that a shvua applies to a case where I swear to do something positive for someone else, shmamina b'dvar rishus ksibi, see from here that what? That the pasuk is referring ultimately again not to a mitzvah, but rather to a dvar rishus. Disak that b'dvar mitzvah ksibi, because if you want to say that it's talking about a dvar mitzvah, hashta haras achirim israbi, hatavas achirim miboy, we'll say if that's the case, that's talking about a dvar mitzvah. So if haras achirim, if the O comes to teach me that I can take a shvua even to the detriment of others, do I need the pasuk to teach that I take a shvua to the benefit of others? To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, v'hai O mi boile l'chalik. I need that O for something else. It will say that O, that drush of O comes to be l'chalik in the pasuk. Look at Rashi. It will say it's Rashi right across. V'hai O mi boile l'chalik. Di'ik siv lahara u lehitiv hava amino ad demishtaba tarvayu. So we'll say, I might have thought the following, that it without the O, without lahara o lehitiv, I would have thought lahara o lehitiv means, we'll say, that a shvua is only binding when the shvua has both components of both the positive or the negative. The O comes to teach me that what? That a shvua is binding even if it only incorporates one aspect, either hara o lehitiv, to which the Gemara says, lechalik lo tzarech kra. I don't need the O to be mechalik in the pasuk. Hanichal Rabbi Yonah's son. So this is fine according to Rabbi Yonah's son. We'll define the sheet in just a moment. El Rabbi Yoshia ma'ikel me'imar. According to Rabbi Yoshia, what is there to say? Disanya ish asher yekalal es aviv es imo. We'll say, listen to this. The pasuk says, if a man will curse es aviv es imo, his father and his mother, ein mi ela aviv v'imo. So Rabbi Yoshia, if you want a strict interpretation, I can read that pasuk as saying what? That if the person is only chayiv if Rabbi Yoshia. If he curses both of his parents. Aviv v'lo imo, imo v'lo aviv minayin. How do I know that even if he curses his father without his mother without his father, that he's going to be chayiv? Talmud lomar, aviv v'imo kilo. Therefore, again, we'll say the positive says, his father and his mother, he cursed aviv kilo, imo kilo, de Rabbi Yoshia. So we'll say, Rabbi Yoshia understands that even without the O, one could go ahead and split apart the two parts of the pasuk. Rabbi Yoras and Omer, mashmosh neim ke'achod, umashma echad b'fnei atzmo. Ultimately, Rabbi Yonasan says, the truth is, I could hear, Mashashen Ke'achad means that I could hear that you only be chayiv ultimately, again, if you curse them both together. Umashma Echab Efnei Atzmo, I'll say, look at Rashi just a moment, last Rashi on the daf. Umashma Echab Efnei Atzmo, V'ribuya Deseifa Dekrami Barley, the Rabbos Makala La'achar Misa, Vachir Varsha. So we'll say, we're not going to do this now, but it's actually a fascinating drasha. Rabbi Yonasan actually understands that Halacha L'Maaseh, the Isser of cursing your parents, is not just when they're alive. It's also after their death. That there's a din of kilal aviv v'imo, even after their death. Omer Bezer Bosei, ad sheyifrot lecha kosev yachdov. So again, Bosei, the pasuk itself, the inference from the pasuk itself, ultimately is that you could understand them both together, and you could also understand them separately. Ad sheyifrot lecha kosev yachdov. Meaning, the pasuk would have to go out of its way to indicate to you that lamaisi you're only chayv for cursing them together. To which the Gemara says, "Afil tam Rabbi Yoshia for some of the Rabbi Akiva." You could even say this reflexively: Rabbi Yoshia knows the Rabbi Akiva. The darish ribuye umiyute vayaisel ol chalik. Because Rabbi Akiva, as you saw, was saying yesterday's daf, darish is ribuye miyut. And if that's the case, The O is left over in Lechalik. E Amrit Bishlama Harishus, excuse me, E Amrit Bishlama Bedvar Harishus Ksiv Memait Dvar Mitzvah. So as I understand, if at the end of the day, you say that the Pasuk is referring to a Dvar Rishus, and ultimately the Miut is coming to teach you that a Shvu does not devolve upon a Dvar Mitzvah. Eli E Amrit Bedvar Mitzvah Ksiv Mimait Kamimait. But also at the end of the day, if you said the Pasuk is referring to a Dvar Mitzvah, then ultimately, again, what would the Miut be? So I will say, bottom line, Allah Chalameis, what the Gemara says, is that Shavua does not devolve upon a Dvar Mitzvah. Why not? Because the way we darshan is Lara O Lehetiv, based on the entire Joshua of Amandav, teaches me what the Pasuk says. Lara O Lehetiv means what? Dvar Rishus. Lara Shavua phrased in the positive or in the negative only devolves upon something optional. So that's the sheet of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, the Mishnah comes along and says that no, if a Shvua could devolve upon a Rishus, meaning if a Shvua could go ahead and ask for something that was beforehand mutter, then all the more so a Shvua should be able to devolve upon a Dvar Mitzvah. For Rabbanon, so we'll remember again, what did the Rabbanon say back to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk says, L'ra'u l'heitiv, which tells me what? That in order for a Shavua to be binding, Rabbi will say, what has to happen? It has to be able to be phrased in the positive and in the negative. For a mitzvah, you could phrase the Shavua in the positive, but you can't what? You can't phrase it in the negative. For Rabbanon, Shapri Kamer Le Rabbi Yehuda Ben Maseira. So Gemara says, Rabbanon are saying good? To which Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Maseira, Amar Lecha, Atu Atavas Achirim Lav, so Rabbi Yehuda Maseira will count it back. But 1 second, you just got finished saying that what? That Allah Almighty, I could take a shavua to do good for others. I could take a shavua, both say to give Reuben $1,000. So that shavua could be phrased in the positive. But what? It can't be phrased in the negative. If I take a shavua to steal $1,000 from Reuben, such a shavua is not binding. Rabbi Yehuda Maseira says, you see that there are examples of shavuos where you could only phrase it in one direction, yet they are still binding. The Gemara says, "Amlav avagav blessi b'chal haras achirim." The Rabbi Rachmana. Yet, so we'll say, take the case of haras achirim. Excuse me, hatavas achirim. I could take a shavua to do something good for someone else, right? And yet, what? That shavua is binding. I can't say it in the negative. The Rabbi Rachmana hachenami b'kiyum mitzvah. Afagav blessi b'bitol mitzvah. Rabbi Rachmana. So Rabbi Rachmana will say, listen. I'll agree with you that a shavua to go ahead and negate a mitzvah certainly will not be binding. But why shouldn't a shavua to uphold a mitzvah be binding? You want to say it has to go in the positive and the negative? That's not true. You just got finished saying that there are examples of shavuos that can only go in the positive direction, can't be phrased in the negative. So at least give me that a shavua ala mitzvah should work when phrased in the positive, even if not on the negative. But Rabbanon, hasam isei below etiv, Hachami esi below akayim. So we'll say, here's the difference. By a shul agabe achirim, there is a negative shul. What's the negative shul, we'll say? I can swear that I'm not going to do anything for you for the rest of my life. I could take a shul like that. I can swear I'm never going to do anything for you again. So you see that when it comes to shavuos legabe others, I can phrase a shavua in the positive and the negative. In other words, I could take a shavua to do something for you, and I could take a shavua not to do something for you. So when it comes to mitzvahs, however, again, I will say, what's the issue? I could phrase it in the positive, but I can never phrase it in the negative. So we'll say, how do we pass in halacha l'maisa? So we'll listen to this. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos, this is really incredible Gemara. So this is Rambam's Hilchos Shavuos. Bless you. Perek Hey Halacha Yedalad. Where's Ami Elman? Ami Elman. Ami, you came at a good day. We're about to do like a Mora Dika Rambam. You're going to go back to school. You're going to tell everybody, listen, do you guys think you had a good time on vacation? I learned the Rambam Hilchos Shavuos. Right? This is the best vacation anyone could ever hope for. I was like, by the way, just I don't give vacation planning tips, but this is low budget vacation planning. This is mamish. You bring your kid to Dafyomi. There's Ragalach. There's Rambams. Beautiful. All right, so we'll say, let's go weiter. So listen to this. Rambam Hilchos Shavuos Halacha Yud Dalit. Halacha Yud Dalit. The Rambam says, "V'chein kol anishpa levata lasamitzah v'lo bitel pater mishuas bitui." So we'll say the Rambam starts with the negative. If a person swears not to perform a mitzvah, I swear I'm not going to wear tefillin today. So we'll say, "What's the halacha?" Now watch what the Rambam says. This is an incredible kunz. So the Rambam says, Patur mishuas bitui. So that shuas meaningless, right? It's not a shuas bitui. Oh, but watch this. The lokya mishum shvuas shav. Oh, the Rosai. So you remember again, what we're dealing with over here is a shvuas bitui, which is a shvua of an utterance, what we call a declarative shvua. I swear I'm going to do something. So if I swear that I'm not going to do a mitzvah, such a shvua is null and void, alt shvuas bitui. It's not a declarative shvua. But what is it? What is it? It's a shvua shav. Rabosai, so again, I'm potter on shvuas bitui, but I will be chayiv for shvuas shav. Va'osa mitzvah shvuas shlevata. So again, there's no such thing as swearing to negate a mitzvah. Such a shvua is meaningless. Rabbi say it's meaningless al shvuas bitui, but you will get malchus al shvuas shav. What about on the positive? So that was it. So I know, you're not getting really excited about that because that was an easy one. That was a softball. We got it. There's no such thing as a shvua to negate a mitzvah. The real question is, what about a shvua to uphold a mitzvah? Kate said, Kigon Shinish, listen to this. All right, the Rambam gives a whole bunch of examples, which are really interesting. We're not going to get into it now. He says, Nishpa lekayim es ha-mitzvah v'lo kiyem. Well, so what happens if I take a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah? So you must say, this case is much more shayich, where you can hear that a person would take a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah. I swear I'm going to put on tefillin. I swear I'm going to eat matzah, whatever it is, and I don't end up doing it. Pater mishvuas bitui. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Osai, I am Pater. In other words, bottom line, the Rambam paskins like the Rabbanon. There is no such thing as shvuos legabe mitzvos. Anytime you take a shvuas bitui, and to make a declarative shvua, to either do a mitzvah, to not do a mitzvah, such a shvua ultimately is meaningless. Why? Based on the drasha lahara o lehetiv. Lahara o lehetiv only refers to a dvar rishus, only refers to something optional, does not refer to mitzvos. Now, again, I know exactly what you're thinking. Number one is the daf is almost over. Yes, that is true, right? And number two, I will say is, this is shvuas. Nedarim is something different. Remember, again, we will discuss this. One can take a neder to fulfill mitzvos, and that's going to get to the difference between a neder and a shvua, gavra versus chefza. We'll get to those distinctions. But for our purposes today, there is no such thing as a binding mitzvah. Excuse me. There are plenty of binding mitzvahs. There's no such thing as a binding shvua when it comes to a mitzvah. Whether that is a shvua to uphold the mitzvah or to negate the mitzvah, such a shvua will be null and void. Good. Weiter. Says the Mishnah. We'll say this is another riveting Mishnah. Mishpa. Shvua. Shvua. Shvua shelo ochal. Kikar zu. Let's listen to this case. I take a shvua not to eat this loaf of bread. Shvua shelo ochlena. Now what we're seeing over here is a guy, I'm taking the same shvua multiple times. So I swear I'm not going to eat the loaf of bread. Shvua shelo ochlena. I swear I'm not going to eat it. Shvua shelo ochlena. I swear I'm not going to eat it. So I took three shvuas on the same thing. What's that loaf? Va'ochla. And I eat it. Right? I swear I'm not going to eat it, and I eat it. What's the halacha? Eino chayiv ela achos. Ultimately, again, I'm only chayiv for one shvua. Zohi shvuas bitui shechayoven al zedona makas v'ashigasach kamar olav yoret. So we'll say, this is an example. This is, the Mishnah is just saying over here, we'll say, we've been learning about shvuas bitui all of these days. The Mishnah has never told us the exact articulation of a shvuas bitui. What is the correct articulation of a declarative shvua? So the correct articulation is shvua shelo ochal kikar zu. Right, that's the articulation. So this is the type of shvuas bitui through which we can be chayiv for both say, if one makes it and they intentionally violate it. Shachayav and azdona malchus. If you intentionally violate the shvuah chayiv malchus v'ashigagas and carbon olev yoreit. And I will say if you unintentionally violate the shvua, you are chayiv a carbon olev yoreit. Shvuas shav. I will say, what about an oath in vain? Remember, again, we spoke about a shvuas shav before. We'll discuss it again. Chayoven al zedona makis va'al shigagasa pater. Again, I will say, for intentional violation, one is chayiv malkus, but ultimately, again, for shogig, one is pater. Okay, we'll discuss emir tzashem shvuas shav a little bit later on. To which the Gemara asks, Lama li lemisne shvuah shelo ochal shvuah shelo ochlena. We'll say, why, if you notice, by the way, the Mishnah seems to be teaching me a concept, which is what? that if I make the same Shavua multiple times, I'm only chayiv once. But if you notice, the Mishnah did something very interesting, which was what? Changed the formulations a bit from one Shavua to the next. In other words, in the case of the Mishnah, the Shavua is Shalo Ochal and then Shalo Ochlena. What's the difference between those two Shavuos, if there is? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. This is amazing. Hakamash Malon, Taimer da Amar Shalo Ochal, Vahavdir Amar Shalo Ochlena. The only reason you're chayiv once is because first you said Shalo Ochal, and then you said Shalo Ochlena. Delo Mechayiv Elachado. Rosei, listen to this. What's the difference between Shalo Ochal and Shalo Ochlena? Rosei, Ochal, Rashi points out, means that I'm not going to eat a kizayis. I won't even eat a kizayis. Ochlena means I won't eat the entire loaf. So Rosei, watch this. So if I make a Shavu Shalo Ochal, then what? As soon as I eat a kizayis, I'm chayiv. But if I say Shavu Shalo Ochlena, I'm only chayiv when? When I eat the entire loaf. So watch this. So if I first say Shavuah Shalo Ochal and then Ochlena, so again, the second Shavuah is pretty much meaningless because since with Shalo Ochal, I already asked what? I asked a Kizayis. The second Shavuah, which asks the entire loaf, is meaningless. However, watch this. Aval, Amar Shalo Ochlena, Vahadar Amar Shalo Ochal, Mechayiv Tarti. Rabosa, if I go ahead and I say Shavuah Shalo Ochlena, I swear I'm not going to eat it. I swear I'm not going to eat it. And then what? I take a second Shavuah, Shalo Ochal. So we'll say first I said I'm not going to eat the entire loaf, which means I'm only chayiv if I eat the entire loaf. And then I take a second Shavuah that says I'm not even going to eat a kizayis. Then what, Rabbi Osai? I'm chayiv twice. Why? Because l'mais, again, the first Shavuah is on the entire loaf. The second Shavuah is asering something that the first did not. In other words, when do we say that a second Shavuah cannot devolve upon an already made Shavuah? When the second Shavuah adds nothing to the first. But if the second Shavuah adds something to the first, and first Shavuah was, I won't eat the entire loaf. Second Shavuah says, I won't even eat a kizayis. Oh, then indeed the second Shavuah ultimately again can't devolve even upon the first. Mechayiv tarti, kidu Rava, d'amar Rava, because Rava said, Shavuah shalo ochal kikar zu. If a person, I swear I'm not going to eat this loaf. Kevan shachal imen a kizayis chayiv. Once I eat a kizayis of it, then I'm chayiv. Rabbi says that if I swear that I'm not shalo ochal, lo ochal bosa means, remember, stam loshon achila means a kizayis. Ochlena means I won't eat it in totality. So this is amazing, Rabbi says. You know, the entire takeaway over here is how careful a person has to be with their words. Because the way you say things and what you say and the order you say it creates all different kinds of realities. So watch this. If I say, Shavua shalo ochal, and Shalo Ochlena, Shavuah Shalo Ochlena, then Rabbi say the second Shavuah doesn't take effect, I'm only chayiv once, because once I asked her the kizayis, it doesn't make a difference that I subsequently asked her the entire loaf. However, if I start by saying Shavuah Shalo Ochlena, so I'm not going to eat the entire loaf, fine, I'm only chayiv if I eat the entire loaf, and then I say what? Shavuah Shalo Ochal, which then says that what? I'll be chayiv even if I eat a kizayis, I introduced a new iser. When I introduce a new iser, then lamais again, the second Shavuah can be chal. Incredible. Shavuah Shalo Ochlena v'achla inu chayiv alachas. So now says the Gemara. Hasu lamai. So we'll say, remember, the Mishnah, so I understand how the distinction of the Gemara the Mishnah wanted to make. The Mishnah wanted to say, if I say Shavuah Shalo Ochal, which means, I ask her the kizayis, and then I say Shavuah Shalo Ochlena, how many times am I chayiv, Rabosai? How many times am I chayiv? Good. Once. Right? Once. I can only be chayiv once, because once I ask her a kizayis, then by definition, the second Shavuah that I'm only going to be chayiv after I eat the entire loaf is meaningless. But if you notice, the Mishnah says something very interesting. The Mishnah didn't just say two Shavuahs. What did the Mishnah say? Shavuah Shalo Ochal Ki Garzu, Shavuah Shalo Ochlena, Shavuah Shalo Ochlena. Why do I need a third? Why do I need a third Shavuah there? To which the Gemara says, HaKamash Malon, Chiyuvah Hu Deleka, HaShavuah Iko. Oh, watch this, I'm saying. To teach me that although there is no Chiyuv for the third Shavuah, it's there. What does that mean, it's there? Dimishkachas Ravcha Chayle. To teach me that, Rabbi Osai, that if at the end of the day, literally translated, if there is room for that third Shavuah to come about, it'll come about. Rabbi Osai, what the Mishnah is teaching me is as follows, that sometimes again, the Shavuah that I'm making right now is meaningless, or is impactless. Is impactless the word? Thank you. Right? Is it right? That's easy. Right? If it's impactless right now, because Lamaik said there's no room for it to devolve upon anything. But should circumstances happen that create room for that shvua to devolve upon me, then lemaisa again it could happen. So Rabbi said, lemaihil chasa kidirava. Where does this come up? I'll tell you where it comes up. Amar Rava, shem nisha ala rishona, ol solo shnia tachtel. Oh, Rabbi said, do you know where this comes up? It comes up in the following case. Let's say I go and I say, shavua shala ochal, shavua shala ochal kikirzu. Good. I ask for a kizayis. Then I say, shavua shala ochlena. And then I say, shavua shala ochlena. Then what happens? I go to a chacham, and he's able to do, however this works by shavuos, we'll have to discuss. But the chacham is able to do atara shavuos, for argument's sake, right? Meaning I'm able to get the first shavua annulled, I'm able to get the second shavua annulled. Then what happens? Rabbi will say, what happens? The third shavua devolves upon me. In other words, Rabbi will say, what the Mishnah is teaching me is as follows, that there are circumstances in which the shavua doesn't have the ability to devolve upon me, but what? It's there. It's hovering. So right now it has no practical ramification on me. But should there be room for the Shavua to devolve upon me, then what? It'll happen. I'll say one more line, then we'll stop. So the Gemara says, where does this come up? Leima Miseele, Mishanadar Beis Nazirus. I'll say, now where this comes up? It comes up in the following circumstance. Let's say someone undertook two Nidre Nazirus. Someone undertook two Nazirite vows. Umanarishon aviv shalei karbon. So we'll say what happens. I go ahead and let's say stam neder nazirus is 30 yom. Just a regular neder nazirus, let's say, is 30 days. So what happens? I go ahead and I count the first 30 and I finish up the neder nazirus. And then what happens? I separate out my karbon. Va'achakach nishla rishon. We'll say then what happens? It turns out neder. I do ataras nedarim sheila. The chacham is matir the neder. He retroactively uproots the neder. So what's that lachar bo say? Also, lo shnia berishona. So I'll say, what happens? That essentially, the period of nazirus that I observed counts as what? For the second neder nazirus. What is the Gemara trying to prove him here? The Gemara is trying to prove him here, what Rabbi saying, that you see that when you make consecutive vows in this case, the second one devolves upon when the first one is no longer there. So too, in the case when I make multiple shavuos, even though the second shavua, the third shavua doesn't devolve upon me now, should the circumstances be created where there's space for that second or third shavua to devolve upon me, it will. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good comparison. Hachi hashta, hasam nazirus mia isa. That's not a good comparison. I'll say, you know why? Because when a person undertakes two nidre naziros, if I say, harini nazir, harini nazir, I'll say, what's ta locha? It's chal. So what do I have to do? I have to observe two consecutive periods of naziros. Dichi manal rishon, abay madim im nishliya. We'll say, again, as soon as I finish the first, I have to do the second, below sheila. I will say, ultimately, again, the novelty over here is just that if I end up annulling the first neder naziros, then what? Then retroactively, it turns out that the period I observed ultimately can be used to satisfy the second neder naziros. But when I make two nidre naziros, I have to observe them one after the other. Hocha shavua shnia mi isaklal. I will say, in our case over here, the Gemara is suggesting that what? That second shavua is meaningless, right? The second shavua ultimately, again, has absolutely no shaychus to what it is that is unfolding over here. So what comes out over here is as follows. What comes out is that the Mishnah is teaching me that, again, first of all, number one, if I say shavua shala ochal, shavua shala ochlena, the second shavua is meaningless because ochal means kizayis, ochlena means the entire loaf. So therefore, once I've answered the kizayis, there is no room for the Isra upon the entire loaf to devolve upon me. However, second lesson of the Mishnah, which is what? When you make multiple Shavuos, as much as right now, the second Shavua, the third Shavua, have absolutely no ramification upon me. Why? Because Lamaise, again, there is no room for them to devolve upon me. There is no room. There's nowhere for the Shavua to ultimately take hold. Should the space be created, for example, the first shavua is annulled, or the first shavua is revoked, or it turns out to be betos, whatever it might be, just know, just because those second or third shavuas don't work now, they don't go away. They're there, they're hovering, they're waiting for their moment ultimately again to devolve upon me. Now, it could be that moment will never come. So, I'm saying, some shavuas just never come to be. some shavuos and never get their moment, right? Sometimes in life it happens, you're just hovering and you never get to actualize. It happens, so some shavuos never get. But even if they don't get the opportunity ultimately to actualize, Halacha L'maisa says, well, we'll see if Halacha L'maisa, or the Gemara is saying L'maisa, they are still there. All right, so let's stop over here. We'll pick up over here, Me'atz Hashem, tomorrow morning.